day the Torah emerged, Ches, Nissan Tov, and Pei Daled, Rabbi Jeremy Stanton.
Right. Morning, Rabosai. Several things to try and speak about today. One is a continuation of the Haftorah Shabbos HaGadol, which I spoke about some years ago, but didn't manage to finish. It's that long, one can't do it in such a short time. But incidentally, and nothing in this world is incidental, the Rabbeinu Shalom very kindly asked Rabbi Nachum David to ask me to speak today. And as you know, I like speaking about the calendar. And today happens to be B'li Ayin Hara, my double birthday. B'li Ayin Hara. Mazolos, Tovim or Tovos, whatever you say. Baruch Hashem. I told my family, you wish me happy birthdays. The point being is that I was born both on the 8th of Nisan and the 16th of April. It is B'li Ayin Hara, the second double birthday I have had since I was born. The first one was 8 years ago. People have got this funny idea, which I'd like to correct in public. They have this incredibly beautiful idea that every 19 years your birthdays coincide. What a load of rubbish. I didn't say that it doesn't happen. I said that people think that it does. Right? It does always. It certainly doesn't. You want to make a pattern of how many times it comes together. To make a pattern, you need to go at least 15,000 years and work out how long it takes over that amount of time. That's at least. But then you've got to take the Gregorian calendar, and they're going to be changing that anyway within the next 15,000 years. What's the problem? Right. So the point being, B'li Ayin Hara, let me tell you, very, very simply, when does your double birthday coincide? I cannot tell you. I can tell you when it doesn't happen. It can happen in every 19 years, so since the day you were born, on the 19th year, that's 19, 38, 57, 76, every 19th birthday, plus or minus 8. So 0 plus 8 is 8, 19 minus 8 is 11. So 8, 11, then 19. 19 plus 8 is 27, 38 minus 8 is 30. So in other words, there are 3 years in every 19 years when it can happen. The other 16 years it can't happen. So that's what I'm telling you. It can happen, 3 out of those. And it can't happen on the other 16 years. The 3 years that it can happen, it doesn't necessarily happen. It just can. It just can happen. Right? So very, very simply, that's how things work. So B'li Ayin Hara, my first double birthday occurred on my 57th birthday. It didn't happen on the other 8 occasions before that it could have happened. It didn't. B'li Ayin Hara, today's my second. Baruch Hashem. That is the first thing I would like to tell you about double birthdays, okay? So when anybody ever tells you that it happens every 19 years, please tell them it's just not true. Say it respectfully. Right. Right? And tell them to keep going. When is it going to happen? I don't know. Somebody stopped me in the street years ago and said, it's never happened. I said, it hasn't happened for me. Just give it time. Give it time. You'll get there. Mitzvah. Just stay alive for at least 15,000 years. It's bound to happen once. Right, that's number one. While we're on that, just mention another little point about, interestingly, how months. It does happen on average, once every 30, 31 years. Because in this century, which is the one we're living in at the moment, the 21st century, in this century, you've got a situation where the majority of Jewish dates in the calendar have 31 days in the secular year they can happen. 31 days that day. So today is the 8th of Nisan, and there are 31 days that the 8th of Nisan can be on. Right? So therefore, if they happen on average, 1 in 31 on average, then every 31 years, one of them will be on your birthday. One of them will be on the 16th of April. But only one on average. So it's an average of once in every 30 years, 31 years. That's how often you'll get it, but I can't tell you when. That's the point. It depends when you were born, etc. B'li'ayin hora, just taking the month of Nisan, there are, I know of four other people who were born the same month I was, in the month of Nisan, in Tovshin Yud Tes, 1959. And B'li'ayin hora, of those five people, what can I say, five people? One of them lives in London, and so you won't know him. The ones who live here, B'li'ayin hora, well, we've got Rav Shimon Vorch, who's a day younger than I am. He's having his double birthday tomorrow, Mitz Hashem. Rav Leibish Rabinovitz, yes, he is 17 days younger than I am. And the other person, I'm the fourth, and the other person, Mr. Stephen Nyman. He's 19 days younger than I am. And I've got, as I said, a second cousin in London who's 20 days younger than I am. Why do I take such an interest? Because this is a special month. Chodesh Nisan. Anyway, it's beautiful. Let me tell you one other thing and then get to the Haftorah. One other thing. It's interesting that I told you this today, the 8th of Nisan, can either be in March or it could be in April. It can't be in February. It can't be in May. It can't be any other time. So 2 months it can be in. But if I ask you the month Nisan, to say it's now Nisan, what secular month must it be? Or can it be? I mean, could it be Nisan and August? No. Nisan and October? No. But Nisan and February? Equally no. It can be Nisan in March, Nisan in April, and Nisan in May. Nisan can go into May. So therefore, those 3 months, it could be Nisan and that month. So there's three secular months that it could be Nisan at the same time. That works with all months. All months, there are at least three, with a lovely exception. And there's a lovely paradox here. There is one Jewish month that can be in four secular months. Four. Literally, you can say it is the month, the Chodesh of this, and it is now the month of, and give four separate secular months. And yet, the paradox, which is beautiful, is that Rosh Chodesh of that month, Musaf on Rosh Chodesh, and I say Musaf for a reason, Musaf of Rosh Chodesh of that particular month can only be done in one secular month. The month itself can be in four different months, but Rosh Chodesh Musaf can only be in one, and the month is Shabbat. Shabbat, the first Rosh Chodesh Shabbat itself could be any day between the 1st of January and the 31st of January. Literally, 31 days Rosh Chodesh Shabbat can be, from the 1st to the 31st inclusive. 31 days. So therefore, if Rosh Chodesh Shabbat was on the 1st of January, the previous night you'll say Yalav Yovo, and it's still December. So it's Shabbat and it's December. January, and if the 1st of Shabbat is on the 31st of January, and there are only 28 days of February, there are 30 days in Shabbat. So therefore the 30th of Shabbat will be in March. 1st of March. So it could be Shabbat in January, Shabbat in December, February and March. It's the only month of the year that can do that. Right, there we are. Lovely. Bit of calendar to think about. Amir Tashem, I hope sometime later in the year, Amir Tashem, to again, standard rule about telling you anything about the Jewish calendar is that Mitzvah Moshiach comes now, forget it. It's an interesting mathematical idea, but there's no reality anymore. I can tell you when Pesach is going to be, because that's not going to change. Moshiach comes now, Pesach will be when Pesach is. It's already Nisan. But when is the first of Iyar going to be? Well, it depends how many days there are in Nisan. But you'll tell me there are 30. I'll tell you there aren't. You don't know. The rule is, there could be 29 or 30. And that is every single month, can either be 29 or 30, depending on Kviyas HaChodesh, depending on the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim. So therefore, anybody's got their bar mitzvah planned for a few weeks' time may have a problem with the Sidra. Because if they're going to be one of these Shabbos Sunday possibilities, it could be that if the Beis Din make Rosh Chodesh a day, the wrong day, or not the wrong day, the day that isn't at the moment, the boy will have learnt the wrong Sidra. I hope that this is going to be a problem for the year after Moshiach. One sincerely hopes that that will be dealt with at the time as how we're going to do that. But this is the beauty about how the calendar works at the moment. It is the way it's been put down by Hillel HaShoni. It'll stay until Moshiach comes, and after Moshiach comes, it's merely a mathematical game. Right. Lovely. The interesting about Hanukkah, I made lists some years ago of various mathematical points. It is interesting that, do you know that which day is the most common first day of Hanukkah? And the answer is Monday. Hanukkah to start on Sunday night and Monday to be the first day of Hanukkah happens 10 times on average every 36 years. Yes? The other 5 days it can be, first day of Hanukkah can't be a Tuesday, it's impossible. Fifth day of Hanukkah can't be a Shabbos. That is why the minhag is, Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal had the minhag of giving Hanukkah gelt on the fifth night of Hanukkah every year, because it's the only one that can't be Shabbos. And that way the grandchildren would know, fifth night, no exceptions. If Shabbos would be an exception, when are we going to do it? Thursday you can do it, but it's a Shabbos, more complicated. He made a minhag of doing it always on the fifth night. It's the only night of Hanukkah that can't be a Shabbos, the fifth night. But interesting, Monday 10 times in 36 years, whereas the others are all far less than that, including this one at the program this year was Friday. People were asking, Miketz, Haftorah Miketz. Either they say they don't know what it's doing in the Chumash because we never do it. The answer is we do it. We do Haftorah of Miketz when Hanukkah starts on a Friday. That's the only rule. When it starts on a Friday, and that if that happens, then that the Shabbos is the Shabbos Chanukah is the second, and therefore the next, and that's Vayeshev, and the one a week later is the day after Chanukah, which is already Os Chanukah, and it's going to be Miketz. So Miketz isn't Chanukah, and doesn't have a Shabbos Chanukah after on it. Alright? So that's, but that comes 10 times every 99 years on average. Yes? That sounds pretty rare. But having it on Thursday happens approximately 10 times every 100 years. It's slightly less. Slightly less. And you should know this year, Yom Kippur can be, there are 4 days Yom Kippur can be. Yom Kippur can be on a Shabbos, Monday, Wednesday and Thursday. Those 4 days. On Shabbos is the most common. Yom Kippur on Shabbos, 10 times in 31 to the nearest number on average. On Monday, 10 times in 35 years. On Wednesday, 10 times in 36 years. And on Thursday, Erev Pesach on Shabbos that year. And you've got 10 times in 87. Interesting how things are divided up. Let us... Pardon?
The Haftorah from Tazria last week is also a rare
key. Haftorah from Tazria, well, first of all, in 12 times out of 19... It's a normal year, Shana Pshuta. In a Shana Pshuta, Tazria Mitzvah is always together, no exception. Right? So it's only in a leap year. And then you've got a problem, sometimes it can be Parshas HaChodesh. Which case...
But it's very, very rare.
It is relatively rare. Mir Sashem, I'm speaking Kedoshim. Yes? Which is after Pesach, 2 weeks after Pesach. Kedoshim is an exceptionally rare one. So rare, I haven't prepared it yet because the chumashim vary as to what which one it is. Now, normally, I haven't got a problem with this. After speaking a particular week and speak about the Haftorah, look at the chumash. It's very simple. There's one Haftorah there. Kedoshim, there are three. There are different opinions as to which one is done. So, do I go by where I'm going to be done? I don't know what I'm doing that Shabbos. It's Hashem. Anyway, Kedoshim is more rare. Right. The Tazria is more well known. Good. Let me talk about a little bit about the Haftorah. For the second half of the Haftorah. Right. So, we are on. Let's very quickly. get up to the lovely Haftarah. This was my Bar Mitzvah Haftarah. The Rav very kindly allowed me to have Shabbos HaGadol very, very kindly, and had to share the Bar Mitzvah with somebody else that Shabbos. I don't think I've seen the person since the last umpteen years. But anyway, so the Haftarah is a beautiful Haftarah, talking about Malachi is telling us about Yemosa Moshiach, Shabbos HaGadol. So all the things are happening, and people say, they say there's no point keeping Torah mitzvahs anymore, but there will come a time HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sort the world out in the time leading up to Moshiach. This is the time leading up to Moshiach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will open up Eretz Yisrael, and the land of Eretz Yisrael, the crops will grow in Eretz Yisrael beautifully. Nothing, you know, think of all the years when Eretz Yisrael was literally, the Goyim couldn't grow anything there. Not only we couldn't, the Goyim couldn't. And now, Baruch Hashem, it's open. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done that. And then the Goyim, says the Pasuk, V'ishru eschem kol ha-goyim, the Goyim will praise you. Ki siyu atem Eretz Chafetz. You will be a desirable land. Eretz Yisrael, the Goyim will say, what a beautiful land Israel is. From the river to the sea, beautiful. Absolutely. And where does from the river to the sea come from? Akev. Second last pasuk of Akev. Where's the Chumash? Please, I'm going to tear this whole thing to pieces. Anybody a Chumash, please? Akev? Thank you. Thank you very much. Right. Yep. Just any time they quote this idea. So one place it comes in. Pasuk says, "Kol hamokom mashetiru kaf raglechem b'lochem yeyeh." Any place where the sole of your foot treads on, for that it will be yours. Min hamidbor v'halavonon, from the midbor in the south, v'halavonon, and the levonon is to Eretz Yisrael what the Pennines are to England. The havdil, the mountains going up Eretz Yisrael, that's the levonon. Yazer levonon min hanohor, from the river Nahar Peros, not the Yarden, the Euphrates. V'at hayom acharon, and yom acharon is to the Mediterranean, from the river to the sea. State in pasuk yeyeh gavulchem, that will be your gavul. Right? There'll be a free Palestine, Baruch Hashem, for us. Wonderful. Baruch Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do all these things, says the Apostle. They'll praise us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now he criticizes us. He says that, what did you do? Chozkolai divreichem. You're tricky. You're nasty to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Your words are chozku, too strong for me. And the Radak says that Klal Yisrael kept saying, let's din but let's die on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got no rules here. He just does what he likes. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, of course this is wrong. And people say, Shav Avod Elokim. They say it's a waste of time serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rishoyim say this. They say HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. We do mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't even notice the mitzvahs that we do. That's what they say. They say this. And that's why we go in the other direction. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about us, we shouldn't bother doing mitzvahs. But that's not going to work. The Atos says the Pasuk, and now Anachnu Mashim Zaydim. We praise the people who do Averus. They're doing nicely. All the Rishoyim have done very nicely in the world. Gabochnu Elokim. They tempt Hashem by Imoletu, and they escape. So this is what Klal Yisrael are doing. But when that happens, what happens? Yes, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael, they're suffering. And because they're suffering, they talk a little bit too much, as people tend to do. Then comes Oz Nidbaru. Pasuk says, famous Pasuk, Oz Nidbaru Yered Hashem Ishel Reyehu. Not Oz Dibaru. Mephoshim says, not Oz Dibaru, they spoke. Oz Nidbaru is a passive. They enter into conversation, having a quiet chat with one another, rather than Dibaru. What do they say to one another? Ishal Re'ehu, the Yirei Hashem, they discuss what's happening. The Radak says that the Yirei Hashem hear the people talking out against Hashem. And they say, the people say, we don't understand why Hashem does things the way he does. Why do these terrible things happen? And the Yirei Hashem says, we also don't understand it, but let's discuss it with one another. Let's talk about it quietly. Let's not make a rush about it. Let's talk about it quietly. Let's discuss it. Try and find reasons, see what we can find. That's the respectful way to do it. It doesn't mean that we understand everything. We won't go through life understanding everything, but at least to talk about it in a respectful way and see if we can see ideas, see what we can find in that. And the Malbim says that, that people know, these are Yirei Hashem, they know that Olam Hazeh, this world is Olam HaNisoyon and not Olam HaSochor. Olam HaNisoyon, this is the world of test, the world of trial. Nobody says that this world is here to be exactly the Olam Habo we are expecting in the next one. Try not to expect both. The people who realize that this world is a world of testing and a world of trial, and that life isn't going to be as wonderful as we would like it to be, should realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us, and everything that we do, every single thing is being taken note of, and the real rewards will be in the next world. That's what they say. That's the Oznit Brew, the people who say that. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to them, Vayikosev, Sefer Zikaron Lefonov. And a book of remembrance is written before HaKadosh Baruch Hu with these people in it. The people who think about Hashem, what does Hashem want? Pasuk carries on. V'shavtem u'ra'isem, you'll come back and you'll see the difference between a tzaddik and a rosha, between somebody who serves Hashem and somebody who doesn't serve Hashem. Everybody's on their own madrega. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can decide clearly his person isn't Oved Hashem, this person isn't an Oved Hashem, but we can't. So look at the people, everybody's got good points to them, and maybe some of us have bad points as well. But if we can manage to find the good, try and find as much good as we can, in as many people as we can, try and find how many Ovdei Hashem there are. This person might not be keeping Shabbos properly, but they're careful about eating kosher. They're capable about Lashon Hara. Everyone, Oved Hashem, everybody. That's why Hashem Chofetz, the vort about Hashem Chofetz Leman Tzidko, Yagdil V'Torah V'Yadeh. Hashem wanted, because Hashem's a tzaddik, Yagdil Torah, make a huge Torah with 613 mitzvahs in. Everybody can keep mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs and people don't even know about they're keeping them. I'm always making a machal whenever I hear somebody describes another yid, he's totally irreligious. I say it's impossible to be totally irreligious. Does he say good morning ever? Does he hold the door open for anybody? Chesed! How can a person be totally irreligious? The Bible says about a person who went to a Rav once and said, I've decided to break every single rule in the book. Everyone. And they said, the Rav says, well, what have you done wrong? I'll read them out to you. And he starts a huge long list. And the Rav says, you're doing very, very well according to your own hashkofa. But there's one thing you've missed out. I can see you missed it out. And the Rav says, what is it? Suicide. Right? That's the point. There's so many mitzvahs to do. Baruch Hashem, people will get themselves into Olam HaEmes without realizing what tzaddikim they have been. And the point is, how do you encourage a child to improve? By telling them off? No. By telling them how good they are and by telling the truth. If you can find children, whether you teach them, they're your children, your grandchildren, great-grandchildren, to point out in everybody the things that good that they are doing and that you can notice them. That is the biggest influence that a person should improve if they see that people can see that they are doing well. All you've got to do is find the good that they're doing and praise them for it. Right, says the Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, there's a day I'm going to make a segula. I'm going to make a segula. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stores up and he hides the reward in a treasure house for the future. It'll come out and everybody will see what it's going to be. And this will be, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have compassion, a chemla on Klal Yisrael, like a man has chemla on his son, HaOvedo, so the son cares for the father, the son loves his father. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I love my children, all of Klal Yisrael. This is what's going to happen. Then a day is going to, hine hayom bo. It says hayom, and hayom here means the sun. The sun will come burning like a tanur, like an oven, like a furnace, and then all the Ovdei Aveir or the Zaydim will all be burnt up. And there'll be nothing left. There won't be a shoresh for onof. There won't be a root left. There won't be a branch left. On that, the Abarbanel says, this refers to, well, what would there be left? Even the Rishoyim do good things. Whoever Rishoyim, how many Rishoyim are there? How many people in all the centuries Rishoyim? Every single Rosha, there's not a single Rosha who hasn't done some good things, and they have to be rewarded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fair. So therefore they will get that. Their reward will come in Olam Hazeh. For all the good things the Rishoyim do, they will get their reward, so that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the final reward, the Rishoyim will be destroyed. Because they will have received exactly, totally fairly, received the reward that they deserve. So now there'll be nothing left. It's all fair. And then, what will happen then? There'll be Yozor Cholochem, Yirei Shemi, then those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Then what will happen? The sun, the Shemesh Tadoko, a Shemesh, a sun of righteousness. And the Radak says that the Tzadikim will be saved from all the evil that's going to come along, but the Rishoyim will be chapped in it, unfortunately, for them. And then there'll be the Asosem, you will crush, Loshan Esau, Loshan Osis, like grapes are crushed. There'll be a crushing. The Tzadikim will first dominate the Rishoyim. In other words, there will be Tzadikim and Rishoyim, Yimosa Moshiach, there will be a small time in which the Tzadikim will be dominating the Rishoyim, and the Rishoyim will see that the Tzadikim are on top, and then the Rishoyim, when they've seen how wrong they were, then they will be destroyed. And the Pasuk then carries on to say, Zichru Torah Moshe Abdi. Zichru, remember the Torah of Moshe Abdi. This is Malachi. This is the last Novi in Nevi'im, ends off by saying, you want to get to Yemosa Moshiach? You want to be there? How are you going to be there? I'll tell you how to be there. Keep the mitzvahs one by one. That's the way. Just keep the mitzvahs one. Do the Torah of Moshe Abdi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what made Moshe Abdi? Because he was a servant of the Rebbein Shalom. He did what the Rebbein Shalom wanted. Everybody can do that. Maybe not as well as Moshe Rabbeinu, but at least in ourselves, to find any mitzvah that we're doing and say, Baruch Hashem, this is what the Rebbein Shalom wants, and have a simcha in that. This is my mitzvah, whatever I can do. Moshe Zichru Moshe, Atos Moshe Avdi. For all Doros keep the Torah, and when the Yom HaDin comes, we will be saved from that. And it finishes off by saying, Hinenach Yishalech Lachem Eseliyahu HaNovi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'll send to you Eliyahu HaNovi before the Bo Yom Hashem, before the day of Hashem comes, HaGadol V'Hanora, the great and awesome day of Hashem. And what will Eliyahu do? V'heishiv Leiv Ovo Salbonim. He'll bring the heart of the fathers back to the children, V'Leiv Bonim Al Avosam, and the heart of the children back to the fathers. The Mefarshim talk about this Pasuk, and what they say on this, Eliyahu's The Radak talks about, how does he say it? He says Eliyahu HaNovi, his neshama and his body separated, and they'll come back together again. And then when it comes back together, Eliyahu HaNovi will come down to earth to tell us what's going to happen. Moshiach's coming. The Midrash Derech Eretz Zutta says Eliyahu HaNovi didn't have a separation between guf and neshama. Eliyahu HaNovi, this is the Midrash that says it, that Eliyahu HaNovi was taken alive to Gan Eden, and he stayed in Gan Eden until, when it comes the Yom HaMishpat, when the Day of Judgment comes, Eliyahu HaNovi will be sent back first. Eliyahu HaNovi is going to come back one day before Moshiach comes to warn us all to do Teshuvah. And the Tosfos Yom Tov says beautifully, he says he's going to come back to make shalom between us and the Goyim. To tell the Goyim, Eliyahu HaNovi, when he comes, he'll do it in such a way that the Goyim will listen to him. And tell them this is what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow Moshiach is coming, and you're going to know what's going to be. You're on Mechemes Gog and Magog. You can choose which side you want to be on. It's your choice, but I can only read you the riot act if you choose the wrong side. Right? But Eliyahu, it will be fair. And therefore all the Goyim who are around, they will be told by Eliyahu HaNovi what is going to happen tomorrow. This is one day in advance this will happen. And then Eliyahu HaNovi will reunite fathers and children physically and mentally. Now they're all the ones who, families unfortunately, who are split up. Unfortunately, we all know families where you've got fathers, mothers and children who have got no connection with each other. And the ones where they can't just simply, where they might see each other, but they've got no feeling for each other. And Yonovi will repair all the loose threads and sew them up together. And also, Barbanel says, Elyoanovi will bring back children who have died in their parents' lifetimes. So the children will come, and where you've got parents, let's say, who unfortunately sowed tzibroch, and with the loss of their children, they lost their own emunah because of what they saw with their children. The children will be brought back to speak to their parents and to tell their parents all that happens in Olam HaEmes. And the parents will be so happy to know about it that the parents will come back. That's Eliyahu will bring them back. And this may be the reason, one of the reasons why in Seder night, why after benching, after we've done all the mitzvahs, the rest is halal and nirtzah. So what have we done? On all of Seder nights, we go through, we start off with our bor bonim. We talk about bor bonim and we have all sorts. You know, there's the Chochom. We don't talk about the Tzaddik. We talk about the Chochom. We talk about the Rosha and the Tom and Shein Yodei Lishol with all the Dibrei Torah about it. But that is if you can talk. The whole idea, you will say, you'll talk to the children. But Rachmona Litzlan, sometimes the children aren't there to be spoken to. So therefore, we've sat there at our Seder night. We hope we speak to our children. But if the children aren't there to speak to, where do we go from here? So now we've done our benching, we've finished our meal, we've done all the mitzvahs there. Eliyahu HaNavi, we say, is going to come back and bring the children. So that we will know that the children will be together with the parents. Im Yetzer Hashem, the Olam Void. The Heishi Levavasol Bonim. Rabosei, have a good Yom Tov.